Good morning. It's good to see everyone here. If you're visiting with us, we're really excited that you've come to worship with us this morning. And if you're from the area, we certainly hope that you will make a habit of coming back and being with us again. We are always glad to see new faces, and we hope that you feel very welcome here at Veterans Parkway. If you will turn in your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 13. 2 Corinthians chapter 13. In verse 5, it says, "Test yourselves to see if you are in the faith. Examine yourselves, or do you not recognize this about yourselves, that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you fail the test. But I trust that you will realize that we ourselves do not fail the test." No, life is full of tests, isn't it? Of course, the first thing that comes to mind is probably school. When we're in school, we think of all the pop quizzes and the midterms and the final exams and horrible that we all had to live through and some of our young people are living through right now. And then, though, we think about other tests, though. If you have a driver's license, then you had to take a test in order to get that driver's license. Some people have taken certain tests into certain professions. Many people lately have probably gone to the doctor and got the flu test lately, because that's something that is quite a problem right now. As we think about tests, we see indeed that they are really a big part of our lives, that we take tests all the time. Life is. So this morning, we're going to take a test. Now, don't get worried. It's not the pop quiz thing or anything like that. It's not something that we're going to grade you on. But we are going to take a test. I think that it's important, as we read here, as test yourself. And there it is on yellow legal paper, if you could tell. Wilson would be proud of that slide, I'm sure. We'll have to tell him. But test yourself. It's important for us to examine ourselves, as that's translated as well in some versions, to look at ourselves very closely. And this morning, I want us to take a test based on Scriptures. In verse 5, Paul begins by saying, "Test yourself." I think that yourself is very important as well. He doesn't say, "Test the person beside you," or "Test the person sitting in front of you." He says he wants us to look at ourselves, to do a self-examination, to see if we are in the faith. So ask yourself, when was the last time I took a good, hard look at myself? Have you ever looked at one of those mirrors that kind of distorts how you look? Maybe it makes you look a lot taller or a lot wider than you actually are. And those are funny to look at. We look at those things and we find humor in that because we know, well, it's not how things really are. It's not what we really look like. But I think sometimes when we look in that mirror spiritually, when we look to test ourselves or examine ourselves, oftentimes maybe it is distorted, like one of those mirrors. Maybe we don't realize that we see ourselves in a distorted way, and we don't really see ourselves the way we really are. Perhaps we're not seeing ourselves the way that God sees us. How many scriptures do not deceive yourself? Because God knew that it is easy for us to not truly look at ourselves and see ourselves the way that we truly are. By testing ourselves, we're going to be more cautious in our habits. Maybe we'll be more cautious in the friends that we keep, the company that we keep. Maybe we'll be more cautious in the things that we think, the priorities we have in life. If we are truly testing ourselves according to God's Word, we'll be more cautious in those things. But if we're not testing ourselves, we're going to be careless in our habits, in our friendships, and in our speech and thoughts. And I go to church every Sunday. I give when the collection plate involved in the work of the church. That's pretty good evidence that I'm in the faith, right? Well, not necessarily. Jesus gives us a warning over in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 21 that there's going to be a lot of people who examine themselves, who look at themselves, but they don't test themselves according to God's Word. And because of that, they look at themselves and they see this distorted view of themselves. And so they think that they are in the faith, only to find out. In verse 21, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven will enter. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, cast out demons, and in your name many miracles? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. I think what Jesus is saying there is that it is possible for someone to be very religious, at least outwardly, but still be lost. So how do we test ourselves to determine if we are truly in the faith? Well, as I said before, we must test ourselves with the Word of God. So let's use God's Word this morning. Take a test to see if we are in the faith. The first question that we're going to ask on this test is, do I truly love God? I think we need to test ourselves concerning our love for God. In Matthew chapter 22 and verse 35 that Wade read for us earlier, when a lawyer asked Jesus, what is the greatest commandment? Jesus says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the greatest commandment. Love God. Do we truly love God? Well, I think it's easy. Maybe you're probably thinking in your mind, well, yes. I'm going to circle yes on this. And we can move on to the next one. But I think we need to examine it a little bit closer than that, because anybody who truly has a belief in God, I think if you ask them, do you love God? They'd say, yes, I love God. But there's more to it than just saying that. Turn with me to John chapter 21. Because when I think about Peter, I think Peter was probably someone who was willing to just check that off and say, yes, I love God, and let's move on to the next question. But Jesus wasn't going to let him move on quite so quickly. In John chapter 21 and verse 15, it says, so when they finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than yes, Lord, know that I love you. He said to him, tend my lambs. He said to him again a second time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Shepherd my sheep. He said to him a third time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Grieved, because he said to him a third time, and he said to him, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. Jesus said to him, tend my sheep. Now, after answering yes the first time, Peter was probably ready to move on to the next question. And, of course, you wouldn't get into the translations here. What Jesus was asking and what was responding was really not the same thing. What Jesus was asking here, for a deeper love than what Peter was responding that he was giving, in the different in the Greek words of agape and phileo there. The point is, though, that Peter, yes, I love you, but Jesus was saying, do you really love me? Are you willing to give that sacrificial love? Are you really, really ready to give that deeper love that Jesus wants from us? Jesus is looking for that deep, sacrificial, and obedient love. It's not just saying we love Him, but it involves demonstrating our love for God. So let's take a scripture test real quick and go through some scriptures about pleasing and loving God. Notice here in 1 John 2 and verse 5, whoever keeps His Word, in Him the love of God has truly been perfected. By this we know that we are in Him. Here's the questions. Do I obey the commandments of God? Or do I want to play by my own rules? You see, it's easy just to say, yes, I love God. But in order to truly love God, then it's that sacrificial love. That love of devotion to Him. That love of obedience to Him. Of willingness to submit to His commandments. Do we obey God? Do we share through our obedience? After 1 John chapter 2, look down to verse 15, and he says, the world, nor the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the Father is not in him. Here's another question I think we need to ask ourselves. Do I love God more than anything in the world? Or do I love worldly treasures and pleasures more than I do God? Again, it's easy for us to check off, yes, I love God, and say it with our lips, but when it comes down to it, are we showing that love for God by priorities, by truly putting God first? Galatians chapter 1 and verse 10, for am I now seeking the favor of men or of God? Or I am striving to please men? If I were still trying to please men, I would not be a bond. How do I live my life? Ask myself here, do I live my life to please God, or do I my life to please myself and my family? What comes first in my life? And then when we think about priorities, I think Matthew 6 and verse 33 is a scripture we have to go to where the Lord says, seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Ask ourselves, is God my greatest priority? Or do I put other things ahead of Him? Test yourself to see if you're in the faith. Do I truly love God? Again, I think most people would say, yes, I love God. But when we look a little bit deeper, do our actions show that we truly love God? Can we honestly look at ourselves and circle yes to the question, do I truly love God? Is it showing our obedience? Is it shown by the things that we do? Is it shown by our actions, by our obedience, by our faith? Do I truly love God? When we go back to our test here, let's look at question number 2. After saying, do I truly love God, I think we have to ask ourselves, do I truly love people? In Matthew 22, again, after Jesus said the greatest commandment was to love God, He said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart. But then He says the second in verse 39, the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Loving God and loving people. You can't have the first without the latter. Those things go together. You can't love God and not love people. And there's many scriptures that we can go to that talk about the love that we need to have for our fellow people. And that's something that God expects us to have. Not only to love Him, but as He says, love your neighbor. Look at Philippians 2 and verse 4. It says, do not merely look out for your own interest, but also for the interest of others. Here's where we ask ourselves, what is more important to me? The good of others or what's good for me? Again, it's easy for us to say, yeah, I love everybody. I'm not mean to anybody. I try to be kind to people. But this goes a little bit deeper than that. When we really think about testing ourselves concerning our love for others, are we willing to put the good of others ahead of our own good? That's what the Lord is asking. The Lord did. A humble servant. He was the one willing to even give His own life for us. Do we really love people? 4, verse 32. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ also has forgiven. Others have wronged us. Again, it's easy to say I love people, but then when somebody does something to us, somebody does something that makes us feel bad, somebody has wronged us in some way, and then we have to say, I'm going to forgive that person. I'm not going to hold a grudge. I'm not going to be resentful in my heart toward that person. I'm going to let it go and I'm going to forgive that person. That doesn't come easy all the time. That's what the Lord expects us to do. Test ourselves. Are we willing to forgive, or do we hold grudges and resentment and bitterness toward others? 1 John chapter 3, verse 17, it says, "But whoever has the world's goods and sees his brother in need, closes his heart against him, how does the love of God abide in him? Little children, let us not love with word or with tongue, but in deed and in truth." Do I look at someone who is truly in need and say, you know what, that's my responsibility? Or do I look at that person and say, well, that's somebody else's responsibility. Somebody else needs to deal with that. Do we truly love people? Do we see that goodness that we can do to help other people? And are we willing to reach out and do those things that will be helpful to those who are in need? James chapter 2 and verse 8 says, "If, however, you are fulfilling the law according to the Scripture, you shall love your neighbor as yourself." Remember, this is what we looked at. Jesus says this is the second greatest commandment. Love your neighbor as yourself. He says you're doing well. But if you have partiality, you are committing sin and are convicted by the law as transgressors. Do we show love to all people impartially? Or do we play favorites? Now that's another question we need to ask ourselves when it comes to our love for our neighbor. Because here we see that James addresses that idea and says that if we're showing it here, not here, because we're playing favorites with it, he says you're committing sin. Convicted as the law as a transgressor. Test yourself to see whether you are in the faith. Do I truly love God? Do I truly love people? Those are questions that are easy just to say, yes, I do. But when we dig a little deeper about what it means, we need to truly examine our life to see if we are living that in a way that shows that we truly love people. We got question number 3 on our test this morning. Do I truly love the church? Hebrews chapter 10, 24. It says, "Let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds, not forsaking their own assembling together as the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near." Ask ourselves, I show my true love for the Lord's church by supporting it with my attendance to worship, or do I attend maybe when I have nothing else to do? What is our attitude toward our worship to God? And that's very important. And again, go back and notice, and this really goes along with our second question, our love for people, in particular here specifically, our love for our brethren. Because the purpose, or one of the purposes, I guess I should say, of our coming together to worship, read that again in Hebrews 10 and verse 24. Let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds. How do we do that? By not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. When we come together to worship God, and we need to keep that focus on God, but also it is as we come together, we're considering how we can edify and build up and encourage and stimulate, as it says, one another to love and good deeds, then we are letting our brethren down. Because if you're not here to do that, then you're letting your brethren down. You're not here to be encouraged and to encourage others. Are we showing our love for the Lord's church by supporting it with our attendance? 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and verse 1 and 2. Paul says, concerning the collection for the saints, directed the churches of Galatia, so do you also. On the one of you is to put aside and save as he may prosper, so that no collections be made when I come. Does my giving reflect where my heart is? Or does it reveal that maybe there are more important things to me than the church and God? What does my giving say concerning my commitment to the Lord? Remember in Matthew 21, Jesus says, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. If we're spending all our money on other things and not giving back to the Lord, that's a true indication of where our heart really is. So again, when we think about, do I love the church? Well, it's easy to say yes, but when we dig a little bit deeper, are our actions showing that we love the Lord's church? Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1. Paul writes, therefore, I, the prisoner of the Lord, implore you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness and patience, showing tolerance for one another and love, diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit and the peace. When it comes to our brethren and the church, ask ourselves, am I a peacemaker or am I a troublemaker, I guess you could say? Which one am I? Am I promoting unity among the brethren? Do I not complain? These are things that can cause problems within. If there are people that are not looking for unity, we look at ourselves as well. We can say, do I love the church? Yes, I love the church. But if I'm one that's always trying to cause division or gossip and talk about people and do all those kinds of things that happen, we're not being a peacemaker. We're not really showing our love for the church. Instead, we're going to be causing problems for the church. So again, as we ask these questions, these are important questions as we test ourselves. As we think about our lives, do we do these things? On the surface, it's really easy to say, yes, I love God. Yes, I love people. Yes, I love the church. But when we dig a little bit deeper in the Scriptures and see, okay, what does that mean? What does that look like if I love God? What does it look like if I love people? What does it look like if I love the church? I think we need to really take a close look at ourselves and see, am I really showing the love for God? Am I really showing my love for my neighbor? Am I really showing my love for the church by the actions and by my attitudes and by my heart? Test yourselves to see if you're in the faith. Do I love God? Do I love people? So I ask you this morning, do you pass the test? This is not a test as also, and I might add this, that we're going to take once and be done with it. As I said, life is full of tests. It's something that seems like it's never ending. This is a test that we need to continually be taking. We must continually be testing ourselves to make sure that we remain in the faith. Because you see, there is a time where maybe we pass the test once, but later on, we could be failing it if we don't continue to look at ourselves, examine ourselves, and test ourselves. You know, and kids, remember this, if you make a bad grade, you can tell your parents this. This test is the only one that really matters. This is the one that really matters. You know, it's not going to affect, you know, what college you get into or what grades on your report card or any of those kinds of things which seem so important to us. But passing this test will determine our eternity. Where we spend eternity depends on us passing this test. of showing our love for God and people and His church. When you look at your life and you test yourself failing, then you need to turn that around. You can come back to God if, as an erring Christian, you need to repent. Ask God to forgive you and turn back to Him. And God is willing to do that. We stand ready to pray with you if that need be and encourage you as your brethren this morning. If you've never obeyed the gospel, come this morning, repent of your sins and be baptized. Become a child of God. And we encourage you to do that. If we can help you and assist you in any way, we hope that you'll come and respond while we stand and sing.